I fell off of a dinosaur fence.
I heard that happen already.
Oh, he said his classic line.
If you say I fell off a dinosaur fence, that's your combo breaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mine what is combo am I breaking?
The podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's your fault this is over.
The meme combo.
Yeah. If we just keep talking about stupid shit and someone says baboo or video games or I fall off a dinosaur fence, the words that were there jiggle and fall off the screen in sad time, and then you can kick the shit out of someone.
I like it.
Yeah. It's July 24th, 2010, and this is the Idle Thumbs Podcast, episode 10.
And I'm Chris Ramo.
I'm Steve Gaynor.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And today, also here, is Famous Vanneman, Sean, our friend. Hey.
Hey, Chris.
That's always how I think of him.
That's true.
How's Famous Vanneman, Sean, comma, our friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. There was a whole bunch of noun reorganization there that caught me by surprise.
Yeah, well, always mixing it up on the Idle Thumbs Podcast.
Episode 10.
About video games.
Is that what this one's about?
Like most, it is.
So let's talk about those.
Yeah. I was, I haven't beat it yet, but before you guys got here, I was playing Limbo. And a little bit after you got here.
So you were lost in Limbo?
I was lost in Limbo.
Like when you go into Five Dreams?
I just thought that Steve was holding a pole up and Chris was dancing underneath of it, but go on.
Well, that was
a different kind of Limbo.
Before I started playing Limbo.
Well, Steve is like 9 feet tall, so
that's true.
He works as a human Limbo.
Anyway, you were a shadowy boy with eyes that, that glimmer like the moon.
You shouldn't play Limbo with a shadowy boy
yet,
with eyes.
But Steve Gaynor has.
I did finish Limbo
today.
Maybe
you could give an opinion of it.
I both started and finished Limbo today. I was
that
really...
That seems counter to the nature of Limbo.
It's not the way you're thinking. It's not the way you're thinking.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Different kind of Limbo. This one's a video game on Xbox Live.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And it's a short game. I mean, I don't know, not that short. It probably took me about 4 hours, probably something like that. I would say it's pretty close in length to like Portal, you know? And I was really impressed by it. I mean, if you don't know much about it, it's a platformer, and it seems like its biggest influence is Out of This World / Another World, the Eric Chahi game from the early 90s. And it's just a really minimalist, like super moody, very Scandinavian
2D side scroller.
2D side scroller, yeah, that's download only. And basically you play as a kid that navigates this really spooky, desolate
Limbo
version of, you know, like you start out in the woods and you kind of navigate it, and I don't know, I found it really engaging because it's one of those games where it doesn't hand anything to you, no tutorialization, nothing, you know, it's a two button game and you just kind of start exploring how it works.
Yeah,
and
I really like that.
Find your own way, and it's really backed up by how light the presentation is. I mean, it's a very dark game tonally, but like everything's just silhouettes and there's almost no music. You know, it's like the most probably restrained game that I've played in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
Which is impressive to me, just to see something that doesn't hit you over the head with anything at all, you know.
There's not even a word. There's not even a single printed word on screen at any time.
I mean, there's the main menu.
That's true, Jake. There is,
which
the main
is very
menu.
Nice looking.
It is.
It's very clean and also nice. But once you're in the game, it's never...
No.
Not once, right? I mean, as far as I could tell.
No, not that I saw.
Just a dude.
Yep. It never, like, prompts you that you can...
And you can jump and grab.
Thing or whatever. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, it has the core mechanics of a Prince of Persia or Out of This World, where, yeah, you jump, you can mantle up on things, you can swing from ropes, and you basically just go through this really kind of foreboding... silhouette world and
puzzles.
And it's a lot of physics puzzles mainly. You know, like the world is set up so that maybe, you know, you have to knock a tree trunk over to get across a gap, or a giant boulder starts rolling towards you or whatever.
It's all one-off stuff as well, and it's not the art all sort of gives the impression at least of being built to exist once, not it's not I mean, if it is, they hide it well, that it's tile based.
No, it's I don't know. I mean, there are certain objects that repeat themselves because they're like kind of, you know, a systemic
object.
Right, but object.
I guess like out of this world though, it feels like you're seeing a thing through in a linear order. That
like a camera is panning across the landscape as opposed to like, this is the same ground tile.
Yeah, you're always panning across. You know, you're always exploring unique spaces, and it's sort of like. It has kind of a serialized language where it's sort of like you're introduced to this one unique object. Like, for instance, there's a bear trap early on, and there's sort of a section of maybe 20 minutes or something where you do a few different things with bear traps.
It's the bear trap world, basically, that you're in at that point?
Yeah, sort of, you know, and then the bear traps don't appear anymore, and there's some other new mechanic that you have to get used to.
Is that by virtue of you not being in the forest anymore after that? Because I kind of like that they would just section off that mechanic to like, oh, this object exists in this place in our minds, obviously.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a bear trap in the city.
Right.
And if you do, that is not good.
It's a little weird.
Usually.
No, yeah, I mean, I will say I like the beginning of the game, kind of like the first act more or less more than the rest of it, because it has this really, I thought that the style and the subject matter lent itself to where you start, which is like the woods, you know, and then
yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, as you're going through it, I don't know, it has this,
that like helicopter rooftop battle later on. It's a little weird.
Well, it's sort of like Flower, wherein, you know, you just start out in a field and everything, and then they start to introduce more like man-made structures stuff, and it just doesn't feel as natural.
Right, you start in the amazing pitch world, and then you eventually find the fleshed-out video game. That's how I felt about Flower, at least.
Well, you started in their vertical slice.
I don't think
Limbo
is so much like that.
Yeah,
though.
Okay. It's less about mechanical complexity, which it's nice that they ramp up. It's more about it feels.
I mean, they say here's like all the original art that the guy was like charcoal penciling up was probably all a kid in the forest, and they're like, oh fuck, we need at least like six distinct zones. I don't know if this game actually thought about that, but that they probably did.
I don't know. It just feels like it kind of. It is about the stuff that happens in kind of the first third of the game where you start out, and it feels really effective to me because it reminded me of how, you know, Miyamoto in interviews has said that like Zelda is about exploring caves when he was a kid, but then this really directly addresses the feeling of being a kid and being out in the woods on your own and all of the like imagined danger, and you know, you feel like you're in this really mysterious space, and in the game they make it really, you know, oppressive and kind of scary, like you feel when you're, you know, in like an unknown location when you're a child.
I remember when I was a kid having kind of occasional revelatory moments where I'd be doing something that I didn't. This was mainly when I was a really young kid and I was living in New York, and we lived like in you know, not in New York City, but just outside the city, and there were woods nearby where we lived. And I would have these situations where I would, you know, I'd be on a there'd be like stone, these ancient fucking stone steps that would go down into a forest, and there'd be like a creek nearby, and I would slip on something and I'd fall and I'd like scrape my arm, and then I would look around and I'd realize like, oh my God, if I had slipped like a few more inches this way, I probably would have smashed my head against this like jagged rock. I mean, you know, when I think back, it's actually terrifying, some of the stuff that kids do and narrowly avoid death or grave injury.
Yeah.
And the early way that, that Limbo introduces you to the just kind of unexpected suddenness of death. Like in Limbo, I mean, it's one of those games. It doesn't feel like a really brutal game in the same way that Another World or Prince of Persia 1 is, but it's got that same thing where it's like, oh, you did this and you like didn't make it and you fell into the spikes, dead, done, try again. Like it's, you know, it's got
you
this
get
very
fucking impaled. It's just like, burp, you're gone.
And it was especially the first couple times that, you know, when you were first kind of going through and seeing the different ways you could die. I mean, it sounds morbid to say it that way, but I mean, you know, it's particularly effective those first few times when you, because you don't expect that. You know, every game handles death and respawning and everything else totally differently. And so, and the way that this one does it is very stark and understated and surprising.
It's pretty forgiving about you dying, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's forgiving in the sense that you go back to a...
Right, I mean, the actual death, like, animations are horrible, but then it just goes...
Yeah.
And you're back 6 feet
or
whatever.
The respawning is very forgiving, which is nice.
Quick like, and
nice.
In Prince of Persia, when you die, it was always awesome, but then you were fucked.
You were totally screwed.
No, this one is much more... It reminded me a lot of Niflis's games, like Nit and stuff like that, where, they're just like respawn points everywhere, and if you die, you only go back far enough that you have to try again the thing that just killed you. So it's nice on that front. But yeah, it reminded me of the same thing where, like, when I was growing up, there was a woods behind our house, and there was this one part of the woods that had all of these, like, really big, thick thorn bushes you know, in it. And when I was a kid at some point, you know, we like kind of, I forget what we had, but you know, we kind of like got, I don't know, somehow we were like kind of cutting through the thorn bushes, like me and a friend of mine, and kind of like navigating them and seeing what was in them. And, you know, and like in reality, it was probably, you know, 18 by 18 feet of brambles or something. But as a kid, it felt like, you know, we
crazy,
were going
like exploration.
Yeah. We were going through this fucking labyrinth of, you know, like insanely, you know, just like twisting vines that we didn't know what would be back there or whatever, you know? And it feels like this, that like Limbo does a great job of putting you in the mindset by making all of those dangers real and making all of the threats oversized, you know? Yeah. Like the first thing that you encounter that is a real direct threat to you, that's not the environment.
I would avoid trying to spoil too much stuff just because
I liked the
feeling.
You know, I don't know.
Well, sure, but I mean,
yeah, but I mean,
the like coolness of encountering that would have been equal to me if I'd played the demo first, but
yeah. So anyway, it basically scales everything up and makes you feel very small and like you're navigating a world that is towering over you.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Totally.
And agreed. And later on, there's sort of, they introduce this kind of like a Lord of the Flies vibe that I found really interesting, that also I think spoke to kind of when you're a kid, and especially if you're not like, you know, a cool popular kid and you feel threatened by other kids, you know, and again, they kind of externalize that in this game through the mechanics. I found it really interesting. That kind of peters out about halfway through, and you do get into more like city environments and stuff, and it feels less native to that, but it remains a really, really impressive game all the way to the end.
I look forward to finishing it.
I think it's my favorite game of the year so far. I mean, it's the only one that is really, really memorable to me. It stands out as a awesome piece of work.
It's a Gainer Goaty.
Why don't we just call it the Gainer Goaty?
I think that's
official winner.
It's been coined.
It's coined?
Yeah, the Gainer Goaty.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't want to see that trophy. I don't.
Mm. The Goaty Galunga. What else we got going on? Limbo's a cool game. You guys should play it.
Yeah.
It's on Xbox.
The Summer of Arcade.
Yeah, it's a Summer of Arcade special.
Valve put out that free game.
Oh yeah,
Alien Swarm.
Great.
I played a little bit of that, but not tons.
Yeah,
yet.
We played like a half hour.
Jake and I played a couple of missions.
Is it cool?
With the list of the reader.
It seems cool based on what I played.
I downloaded it.
I wish that I had played the original because I want to know what changed after they started working at Valve.
Yeah.
Because it does kind of feel like, it feels like many of Valve's games, but then Smash TV is inserted into the mix, basically, because it has the four-player co-op thing that feels kind of like Left 4 Dead, and it also hilariously has the exact Left 4 Dead like film filter that starts showing up when things go to shit, which
I'm
is totally
glad you
hilarious.
Noticed that comment. I was like, oh,
yeah,
dead
like,
film grain.
Oh god, I bet aliens are nearby because the film grain guy has turned up the grain.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're also
did you guys see there's an option to select the music you want to play when it goes into like crazy combat mode?
No,
so people just put like Jackie
like
Sax in there and shit.
Like,
oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Best fucking thing.
Because when they
like
when somebody drops that adrenaline,
matters.
Right?
That's amazing.
I like that.
It also has things
that
like
from Family
you can basically play as a medic or an engineer. And
the theme from Hey Dude on Nickelodeon.
Hey,
watch
dude.
Out for those man-eating jackrabbits. that'd be a long
combat encounter if you got all the way to that point.
Yeah. That's true. Well, that's like, yeah, I guess if the combat encounter goes to the full 60 seconds of that intro.
Yeah, if you're assuming that we're using the original long form of the Hey Dude intro.
Yeah, right. And not the club remix.
The studio
I've got
track,
a folder
not the edit
of,
for TV.
Yeah, on my computer, I've got all the different versions, so I'll sort through. I'll find out which one's most optimal.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, it has a class-based thing where you sort of pick what you want, and then
this is Jake Rodkin talking about a video game.
I'm just letting him go.
I've
really
only played for like a half
it.
Hour, but I want to play more.
It is a team-based Valve video game. That's the kind he plays.
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
True, yeah.
Well, also this one was free.
They usually have to say team in the title too, but
and,
they didn't accept.
Yeah,
them
I thought that. This
oh, and
was,
two. You're right.
Yeah, I thought this was the sequel or the Fortress edition, but no. I don't remember what I was saying now. It's Alien Swarm Fortress 2. For Dead.
The Reckoning.
Origins.
Dark Fortress.
Motherfucker. You guys
Dwarf
called
Fortress?
Me out for talking about a game, and now I don't want to anymore.
You were talking about being able to play other classes.
Oh, it has a class system. It has a weapon, like, sort of arsenal that you build up as you level up, because you also level up. So there's, you know, certain weapons that are only available to certain classes.
Leveling up felt really good, just kind of like nice rewards and
I got
achievements
a
were tied to EXP, which
but,
is something that isn't generally
the way that it works out is fairly nice. I haven't played an overhead like murder everyone sort of like gauntlet style thing before that also where whether or not where what you play as actually matters. So like the medic will sort of drop a team med kit, and then a sphere of healing opens up and everyone can fight from within that for a little while, or you end up on like the elevator, the classic video game elevator that's going down. I guess it's like also the classic Valve elevator.
Yeah, Valve loves elevators.
That's descending for a while so they can throw a thousand aliens at you.
Your hand is doing the diagonal Half-Life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, elevator. Yeah, exactly. The elevator.
Well, that's what it is in Alien Swarm.
Yeah, the Alien Swarm elevator is that exact encounter from Half-Life, except that there's four guys. But it's actually
headcrabs are bouncing down.
They
a
basically
ramp
look like headcrabs as well.
Yeah, and they're giant headcrabs the size of like Labradors.
Although, and then you can, you know, there's a console command to go into first person mode. And then they look like even bigger fucking...
Yeah, I saw that. The first person mode actually looks really good.
It does look really nice. Cause, I mean, I think it's mainly just, you know, asset level that they'd put in a Source game.
I feel like I would like to play that in first person just from seeing the video of it. It looked like it was totally playable.
I haven't considered that, but I would try it.
Have you guys noticed some of the interiors look like... They look a lot like the color palettes and lighting in Mirror's Edge. I thought that was really cool.
They do really sort of like... Like, I mean, I
those
saw two-tone, that we would go
like white
rooms.
And red or white and yellow or white and blue rooms. That stuff looks so awesome.
I mean, when it's in a sci-fi environment, it's less surprising to me than in Mirror's Edge, but...
Well, yeah, but I don't know of a lot of games that look like that even in a sci-fi environment.
That's true.
I like those strong primary colors, because usually video game sci-fi means cool blue or gray or
that's
something.
True.
You know,
cool blue and brown, dark blue.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Dead Space, sorry.
Cool blue and brown.
That game was really brown.
Dead Space was really brown. Yeah. Man, I was at
brown and gray.
I was at E3. I don't know if this is the kind of thing I should say on a podcast, but
let's find out.
I was at E3 and I saw a bunch of EA demos, most of which look really good actually, but I also saw Dead Space 2, which like
that was a really good comparison there.
It's not quite what I meant.
I saw all this great stuff and then
I was in there.
Steve
watching
almost did a spit take at that.
I hadn't drunk yet.
An end of the podcast.
And it almost went like all over the mixer.
Glass reverb. Anyway.
That should have been you making that noise and go on.
So I was in these demos were in little behind closed doors areas. So I was in another group of people in the room watching the Dead Space 2, and I was watching it, and you know, it was just like fucking Isaac dude with plates of metal on his face, you know, shooting aliens
more
and then
metal.
An alien like grabs
him
or whatever and he shoots it and he goes and it looked fun if you like Dead Space. I mean, which I did. I enjoyed Dead Space, but it was like, you know, it was definitely a sequel. It was definitely brown. And I got out of the room and EA PR person was like, hey Chris, and I'm like, oh hey, what's up? And she's like, I haven't seen you in a while. What'd you think of the game? And I'm like, oh, you know. She's like, well, what does that mean? And and I'm like, oh, you know, Dead Space 2. She's like, any words of wisdom? I mean, what'd you think? Did it look good? And I was like, it was definitely more Dead Space. See ya. And then it was like the most awkward like 5 seconds. I was like, bye. It was a horrible moment.
Oh, interactions.
Yep.
They're hard
sometimes,
aren't they, Chris?
Yeah. They are sometimes.
I know.
I know a lot of PR people who are really nice and really cool, and I don't dislike any of them really. I mean, pretty much all the PR people I deal with are really nice and I like, but it's weird when you have like, hey, I want your opinion on this thing that I'm paid to like promote.
Yeah.
And well, also, we're buddies, kind of.
Well,
what?
Well, did you not want to say, well, you could make it less brown? Like, I don't know. Was there nothing you could say about it?
That actually wasn't even what occurred to me.
Oh.
It wasn't. I mean, because I really...
You could put less plates on it.
What occurred to me was just, Dead Space again.
Yeah. It's more of Dead Space.
Which includes brown, but brown wasn't the...
Oh, okay. That wasn't
that
the problem.
Did they bring over the toupeed wing guy from...
Sorry about that.
From Dead Space Extraction?
Oh,
the Necroflyer.
The Necroflyer, does this game feature Necroflyers?
I don't know,
ask?
That's a good question. I should have asked. I didn't ask.
That guy's haircut is tight.
Yeah.
It's parted in the middle.
It was definitely like weird,
I'm just picturing
like
him with
sad
his Necroflyer
boss
arm
from a modern
with
like indie cold drama.
Sorry, Steve and I were miming combing the Necroflyer's hair.
That doesn't come through with the readers.
My impression of Necroflyer is comb your hair in the middle.
You'll see.
Comb your hair in the middle.
You'll see, Sean, when you play Dead Space Extraction on your Wii.
Oh, it's on my stack.
Okay. Is it really?
No.
Oh,
no,
that's
no,
surprising.
No. There's a couple.
It was well received.
But I have games in the mix right now. Cool. But it's not in that mix.
Hmm. So, Alien Swarm, you recommend to play it for free?
It's a free game. What's funny is when you're playing it and you start to be like, oh yeah, like
right. You can sort of see its modness show up occasionally, but then it's like, fuck that.
Well, not even that. Just like free. I'm like, oh, like this is like you start looking at it through the same lens in which you'd pay for a game, and that's stupid. Like I forget, you don't really get a lot of free games from publishers saying, hey, here's a cool thing that we built.
Yeah, pretty much
a lot
never.
Of money.
Yeah. Maybe occasionally you get like.
Well, you
free
do,
level.
And then they're like, sign up for a credit card and get points that you can spend for
DLC.
In-game world currency.
Yeah,
free to play microtransactions.
It does make you wonder if Valve has plans for this game at all, because it seems. I mean, if you think Counter-Strike started like this, Team Fortress started like this. I guess those are the two. No, because
Dave Defeat,
and I mean, Ricochet.
I mean, maybe that's what. Maybe they are planning, like, because maybe they have something along the lines of Alien Swarm 2 in full production. So they're like, we should release this thing so people get psyched about paying for the one that we're really
right.
Because
I mean,
on.
Valve can't be like, oh, our team made this Unreal Engine game that we're putting on Steam. They just, I don't think that would be the way they would do that.
Yeah. So look
it's
for
cool,
Alien
though, feels...
Swarm 2. We just announced it on the Idle Thumbs podcast.
Sweet.
But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
and it feels like It feels like, I mean, the same thing can be said for TF. Like, the classes are so hyper-distinct. Like, it really felt like that medic was a very, like, just doing a medic thing as opposed to somebody...
A guy that can shoot things.
Yeah,
and also
a soldier
has
with
a
slightly
kit.
Different spec.
Yeah. There were very few times when we actually successfully, like, when the engineer had a turret up and the medic had sort of deployed the health thingy and
we were
battling off
shop.
Just
it was
hundreds
so fun.
Of dudes or
that
whatever.
Was really fun.
It was good. It was a real game.
Yeah.
Anyway, video games.
It kind of makes me wonder if that would be... positive addition or not to like the next Left 4 Dead thing they do, because basically all four
if
Left
you get
4
deploy
Dead
turrets?
People, yeah. Well, no, all four, all
oh
all,
classes,
yeah, all four Left 4 Dead people are pretty much exactly the same, except maybe you picked up an adrenaline spike, but mm-hmm. like you know, I could see Left 4 Dead where you essentially pick a class or a subclass as being interesting,
yeah,
you know, as
amazing.
Opposed to we're just four dudes that run around and pick different guns. Maybe
there are like in this game, there are like when someone dies or occasionally just in the world, there are drops, and depending on your class, like there's the Venn diagram seems pretty forgiving for who can pick up what stuff. But obviously, like if there is a group medic or group med kit, only the medic can pick that up. Whereas I think most people can pick up an auto pistol mm-hmm. or whatever. So
when I got that armor at the end of that first level, you couldn't put that on, right?
I don't think I could. No.
Oh, see, I had that on.
So, yeah, I think because that's what's interesting in Versus in Left 4 Dead is that, you know, the infected are very different from one another. And then when you're playing as a survivor, you can kind of prioritize who you should go after based on like, oh, that guy's a boomer and he's there and I need to deal with him differently. I wonder if that stuff coming onto the survivor side would
that might
be
interesting.
Good. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like that guy can drop a turret.
Valve is probably
that shoots missiles.
Investigating this.
Yeah, it would definitely they would definitely have to adjust the tuning of the balance between the two sides, because in Left 4 Dead it's such a huge fucking deal when someone dies or is incapacitated, and if that
was your
if,
medic or
if you lose your medic, like
and that's why I wonder if they would ever do that, and maybe like Alien Swarm's ability for them to make that class based game as opposed to, I don't really know if that's what Left 4 Dead is about being a person.
You're kind of describing
which I like
Alien Swarm kind of as at least to me sounding like a top-down Left 4 Dead, but with classes, and it makes me wonder, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know,
exactly.
Like what is the penalty for death in Alien Swarm compared to Left 4 Dead?
You're out.
You're
I think
dead.
You're out until your teammates complete that leg of the mission, then you come back.
Kind of like a safe house?
Yeah, but there's no closet rescue in this game.
But if you die like 5 seconds in, you're sitting.
Huh.
Yeah, like, which sucks. Oh, also this game has force-friendly fire, which makes it weird.
Yeah.
And it definitely makes top-down... Like, all the guns have really long laser sights, so you basically always see if you're going to fuck people up.
Yeah.
But it makes
that
it
That doesn't
terrifying.
Stop people from...
No, people get shot.
Friendly
but
fire.
We shot each other
a lot.
The sound for hitting a guy actually... both successful hits and teammate hits are like low frequency festivals. If you're playing with in headphones, your brain just goes when, oh shit, I'm sorry, my brain just pulsed because I shot you in the face.
Yeah,
also they penalize you for reloading when your clip is
when you reload your guy actually drops the clip on the ground,
torturous,
which is
torturous for me.
It's so like, good though.
I love that, but my instinct
the first thing you said,
three shots out with the minigun, and then it's like you just wasted a clip, like no, my 200 shots, like
no, that's
thrown to the ground.
Yeah. That's honestly one of my like sort of pet peeves, or just things that I wish people would actually think about or try something different with more in games.
Meet the Swarm.
Well, because there's so much shooting in games, and almost no games treat a gun like an actual gun. You know, it's like I magically put three bullets in my clip. You know, like it. So I really appreciate it when a game is like, no, we're actually going to make it so, yeah, if you drop your clip, you just burn to those 50 shots that were in your, yeah, assault rifle mm-hmm. magazine or whatever.
It makes you play great. The game differently. Have you guys seen, too, which I like.
I forget exactly what it's called, but I just saw this for the first time a few days ago. I think actually Patrick Redding from Far Cry 2 team linked it on his Twitter. I forget what it's called. It's something like the Internet Movie Gun Database or something. And it's this huge wiki that catalogs, you know, to the extent that they have achieved this goal so far, you know, every use of guns in movies and video games. And video games. Yeah. Wow. And so, I mean, you can look up any gun model and it'll list all the places it's been, or you can look up any movie or video game and it will have all the guns in it and like a huge amount of documentation. Like I was linked by Patrick Redding to the Far Cry 2 page on this site. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know jack shit about guns. Like, I don't know anything about guns, but I was just sitting there reading through this page. It's fucking hilarious and crazy. Like, they will just take like frame by frame pictures of like the reload animations and the jam animations and the misfire animations.
Do they
and
have
be
the
like,
idle
this
animations where the guy
incorrect.
feels the compulsion to like look at his gun well, and watch yeah. the specular hit it,
yeah.
drop the clip out and sort
well,
of put it back
use
in
that,
and stuff?
They'll use animations like that as ways to like further criticize the implementation. You know, they'll be like, Jack, for some strange reason, looks at the ejection port that shouldn't be on that side of the gun. It's like that kind of shit. It's really weird and funny. And I got, in a Wikipedia-like way, you know, sucked into hours of
I bet
just...
the number one page on that wiki is Deckard's gun from Blade Runner.
I was going to say it's
really?
The BFG 9000.
What is significant but, about
or
it?
Or possibly the...
Well, no, it's only real guns.
What?
That's... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I guess then it's not then. Then. There's no blasters?
Yeah.
No, I mean, a lot of...
Because my assumption would be the second one was whatever the auto rifle from Aliens. I don't know. They're just guns
maybe,
that
maybe
nerds
they have fictional
like.
Ones, but it seems to be focused on real ones. And then most video games don't use real ones. They use fake ones that are heavily based on real ones, I guess. And so they say, like, this is clearly based on this. And then they have the reasons why it's wrong.
The Beretta 9mm.
Yeah.
copyrights.
So that was a weird thing. Speaking of free games, have any of you guys played Moonbase Alpha?
I haven't tried it.
You played the fuck out of Moonbase Alpha.
I've actually only played it once.
Chris, you love
Chris,
the moon
do you like
so much,
things
though.
That take place on the moon?
It's a little known fact. I enjoy the moon. And things set on the moon.
Why choose the moon? Why do we choose this as our goal?
Not because it's easy.
Chris,
no.
Moon.
Because it's hard to make Galunga, video games.
It is Rainbow. Hard to make games.
Moonbase Alpha is a free...
We choose to make games not about the moon, not because it is easy, but because making games is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
That's what he
yeah.
said. Why does Rice play Texas?
Go I don't on. Know what any of the quotes you guys are talking
That's
about.
That's John F. Kennedy.
From John F. goddamn Kennedy.
Right. He says
going
making games is hard.
Going to the moon. Why climb the highest mountain?
Why does Rice play Texas?
Why 35 years ago fly the Atlantic? He's got to get that little Boston thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Anyway, that was the
So
moon.
That's the opening cutscene is set for that speech, right?
Man, that should have been actually, but it's not.
Oh, man.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
Well,
but
it just would have made people feel bad that what they were actually doing was sitting at their computer pretending to be on the
phone. Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
See, it just made Jake feel bad right then. He hasn't even played it.
But it's a cooperative.
So you chose to go to the moon.
I chose to go to the moon in a video game. It's a cooperative multiplayer game it's where you go up onto the moon and you, like your moon base is
Alpha.
There are problems with it and you have to fix it.
I want the comedy version of this moon base beta that is just like the slacker astronauts. Like getting drunk.
Well, that's kind of what it's like sometimes, actually.
Go on. You were saying that you didn't even look up how any of it
yeah,
worked
well, so
or
that
know
was,
how to do
yeah,
anything,
so I went
right?
into the, so this is the reason I've only played this once. I had this really singular... I'll probably go back and play it again, but I had this really awesome, like, singular experience with this game where I loaded... All I knew about it was that it was on the moon, and it was called Moonbase Alpha, and it was about a moon base. And I'm like, all right, that sounds pretty good to me. I didn't realize it was purely multiplayer. And so I just went online and just joined, you know, whatever server had people but wasn't totally full.
Because it's four players maximum, right? Or six?
I think it's more than I think it's six, yeah.
Okay.
Or eight, maybe. I don't even remember. But anyway, it's
a lot of people on the moon.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people on the moon. And so I went in there. And I had no idea what was going on. And I joined in with these
people. You
started
pantsing people.
Yes, and you know it's,
you fragged a guy and then teabagged
and
then,
yeah
him.
And started kneeling on his
you're
face
like this isn't what this game is about Chris
like I'm teabagging on the moon
and
bitch.
They sent you well that's Shattered Horizon I think
that's true
oh Shattered Horizon is I'm teabagging you on the moon bitch
yeah
rising
Rising.
It's a Moonbase Alpha Rising.
Vengeance.
So what happened on the moon, Chris?
Well, you know, so I went in and immediately everything is really slow. I mean, it's
like moon speed.
It's like being on the moon and you jump and you get that little cool slow motion, low
Did
gravity.
You skip around
thing.
Like an
little
astronaut?
Hop.
Yeah.
Do a little hop.
And
hey,
so I was just,
golf ball.
You know, I start off at the beginning and I was, the context for this game makes no real sense because, you know,
you're on the moon.
Well, because you're on the moon, but because you're not, you know, there's no tutorial or training or anything. And so
like
they just sort of put you right in the middle of like crazy crisis on Moonbase Alpha.
You're
and
an
I'm like,
expert
oh, shit.
Astronaut. Yeah, take our word
go
for
fix
it.
The Moonbase.
The sequel should also be called Crazy Crisis on Moonbase Alpha also.
Yeah. Well, they're making an MMO.
That's the choose your own adventure book.
This is like their proof of concept for the MMO that they're also working on.
Who's making this?
NASA.
Yeah, what are its oranges?
Like consulting
origins?
On it in oranges? Collaboration with the America's Army team and some other group that I don't remember.
Sweet.
Our government's fucking making a lot of games.
I know, it's weird.
Stop it.
People like them.
So I went in and I was going around and everyone else on the team, or at least most of the people on the team
Too late,
had
it's not.
Like mics and headsets. And
the other guys were astronauts.
They were fucking out. They knew what they were doing. And they were going around and they're like, all right, guys. All right, let's get over here. Oh shit. We're stranded over here. And I was just kind of walking around and I'm like, oh, cool.
Sweet moon.
And
guys.
I was just like, moon, I'm on the fucking moon. And I went over to a little, like briefcase thing. And it was like,
deploy. That's the air supply.
It was like deploy robot. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And so like you unfold this little briefcase and it like turns into a little stand and then a robot comes out.
Little Johnny
and
Five nice. Comes
you can,
out.
You control the robot remotely, like through a screen with a little, you know, joystick control in the game, and you just go into first person mode with the robot. Or I forget if it's first or third person, but you control the robot.
So you're in robot mode.
Yeah. And you go around and you can be either a welder robot or something else. And
so I'm like,
cool,
class system for the robots?
A welder robot. No, they're just totally two different robots, and that's it.
Oh.
And you go and like you can fix, you know, little
change that to DLC.
Like pipes and stuff with your welding eye or whatever torch.
Your welding eye?
My welding eye. And
you have a laser eye like Kano from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. And so I was going around and then like after a certain point, you know, like after a few minutes of me just like dicking around on the moon, my the other guys on the moon base, my co-moon base proprietors started screaming like, oh shit, oh god, we're stranded. Where's that other guy? Get over here. Come help us.
You're like, I will drive the robot to you.
And so and like but I couldn't figure out how to get over there because there were all these pipes in the way and I was just a little robot.
So you're like,
and
I'll weld my way through
I'm
these
just
pipes.
Like, no, I was just like going around like fixing the I'm like, well, I can still help in a different way. I'll just like fix the air pipes. And so I just like roll up to a little like rupture in like an air tube thing and like sit there and weld it. And there's a little mini game you play where you like weld the thing together and then it goes and it's like bing and it's like you've succeeded. And I'm like, great. And then I'm like, oh, there's another one over there. Roll, weld. Meanwhile, in the background, my friends are like, we're seriously like stranded over here. Where's that other fucking guy? What is going on? Like, why, where is he? We need help. And I had no idea. Like, I didn't have a voice communication thing. I didn't know what kind of help they needed. I didn't even know like what they were describing. And so basically what happened on the moon was like these guys were fucked. They were like running out of air or something on the other side of the goddamn moon. They were dying. Their other teammate was just sort of standing comatose like next to a table, and then the only like sentient creature with any amount of control was just this little like worker welder robot just like happily like roaming around the moon like welding together little pipes. It was this like crazy, like desolate sci-fi nightmare.
Yeah.
Where it's just like the machines that have been created, like obliviously doing their task.
Leak detected.
No robot,
exactly.
No.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually,
leak fixed.
We lost. Yeah. It was good. It was a really enjoyable, like awesome sci-fi moon experience. That was probably not the one the developers intended, but it was
Did you have to put in your real name when you signed up for this? Because if so, you're probably blacklisted from all future NASA missions.
Well, my Steam name, it's a Steam game, and so it uses Steamworks, and my Steam name is just Chris Remus.
Oh, yeah. You've been cross-indexed.
Yeah, you're not going to be on the moon in real life.
That plus that time you checked out Catcher in the Rye means you're basically never going to space.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
What?
People know. Like in the 60s.
Are you talking about, like, McCarthy or something? What are you talking about?
No, you get put on a list. Like
they're like it's just books, library books.
Then like Lee Harvey Oswald have a copy or catch.
Yeah, there's just this thing where certain books were flagged for your potential risk and catch. No, not for the moon, just for like you might be a crazed gunman.
Yeah, like the Secret Service would be like, well, that guy's on the list. He checked out Mein Kampf or whatever.
Yeah, and Catcher in the Rye was one of those.
I see.
Which is weird.
The more you know.
Considering I was assigned it in high school to read.
Considering
it's a different time.
That's true. It was.
They banned books in schools.
I just really like that sentiment. I can help in a different way. Yeah. Like, that's what the robot is thinking. Right. I'm just picturing it's like,
when they get back, they'll be so pleased with this welding.
Yeah. I'm doing so good.
It's so childlike and awesome. I'm just picturing exactly, like, you know, there's a bunch of people off the side of a boat, like drowning, like, save us, throw us a life raft. And the robot's like, I can help in a different way. And just starts like mopping up the deck. Yeah,
see,
exactly.
I'm helping.
No, that's exactly the image that was in my mind.
My job is to please.
It's even better on the moon, though, because you get classic like images of astronauts behind their glass masks.
Right.
Like,
just like the silent, like
yeah, exactly. No sound
against the glass. Yeah. Like, yeah. No robot.
It was good. It was.
And then
experience.
When I found out there was a fucking dude controlling the robot, the camera pans over 6 feet, and it's you working the levers. Actually, of like, hey guys, what's up? Just controlling this non-autonomous robot, just mopping the floor, like. Fuck you!
Oh man. Also,
these guys will be so happy when they see that I made this robot clean this floor.
I also joined another game. I forgot. I didn't play very far in it, but I joined another one that reminded me of the time I was playing Halo 3, and it was just Neil Diamond dance party, like in the center of the map. And when I joined Moonbase, and it was guys just like in the moon rover, just like. Going like, yeah, woo, space jumps. Yeah! I'm going off a sweet space ramp. And just like everything was space noun. It was pretty good. So that was my other like complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Were they joking about that?
Yeah, they were just fucking having fun, dicking around. Right? Yeah, like, just...
were they actually ramping the rover off?
Did they think that the notion of space ramp was funny, or did they just think it was badass?
I don't know. It was cool.
They thought it was sweet.
Sweet space ramp.
This sounds like the kind of game that will... still be played by a very small group of people in like 10 years.
But they will have codified all of the fucking crazy
exactly,
rules.
Yeah,
and there will be people who either were astronauts or worked for NASA. Because like, okay, so our...
No, but it'll be like the flight simulator guys. Yeah. But you'll also have the guys who are just like professional moon-based sim players. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
there are flight sim guys like that.
Yeah, our lead environment artist at 2K Marin was, before he started doing art for video games,
an airline
pilot. So he flew like 747s. And so he played, you know, he's played a bunch of... He loves flight sims, and he's played... The one that he likes the best is like Falcon...
4.0?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you'll play online, and the only guys that are still playing it online are guys who are actual fighter jet pilots.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
And, like, they go, that's, you know, so they, cool. they fly a fighter jet. You know, they don't get to actually go up very often as a fighter jet pilot, so they go home and fly a fake fighter jet on the computer and, you
whatever,
know,
awesome.
Know everything about it, you know. And
so those guys are presumably pretty rad at Falcon 4.0 or whatever.
Because they can fly the actual thing in real life.
that kind of stuff is... I think it's really cool, and I really like that video games, like broadly speaking as a medium, are like big and versatile enough to include that as a thing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I hope that there's always, to some degree, like a viable PC market with that can just accept any genre, because that kind of stuff, there's no, it's never... You know, that stuff was commercially successful at one point. It probably will never be to that extent again. But
though it's
just
not a good sign
that
those guys are still playing Falcon 4.0.
That's exactly
2000 or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that game was 1998, as I recall. And like,
it's
I hope that it wasn't like the best year for games.
Half-Life, Ocarina of Time, Falcon 4.0.
Yeah, Thief.
Thief.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's true.
System Shock 2.
System Shock 2 was 99.
I'm sorry.
Idiot.
I'm an idiot. But yeah, I think that stuff is really interesting and cool.
Yeah.
Galunga.
Break? Take a break?
Yeah, let's
take
go
a break.
To the moon on the break.
Fucking break.
Let's take a break.
Video game.
So you want me to talk now?
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. So there was this video game.
Was it a game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you play this game?
No. I didn't like it, and I didn't play it. But I know it was there.
It was on your computer.
It was on my video game console.
What game was this?
Console game?
It was console game?
I think so.
Oh, that's one of those unauthorized sort of,
it's like 50
tension.
Games in one.
Did you buy it at a kiosk in the mall?
It was on a blue NES cartridge.
Hmm.
You bought it though from the guy who sells the helicopters.
The
one that you like
with.
Pull the
yeah,
wire
or like
on.
the boomerang that comes back to him every time,
but not to anyone.
But
else.
Not to anyone else. Yeah,
yeah. I bought it from that guy. As noted, didn't play it, didn't like it, so can't really say much more about it. Thanks for talking.
That's a good game.
That's cool.
That's really that's good analysis.
What else we got? What else we got? What else is going on lately? You guys heard of this guy Bobby Kotick?
Oh man, I heard of that guy.
More like Bobby Kotick.
Oh, it is more like that. It's more like that than Kotick.
According to Double Fine's Tim Schafer.
I would submit to you.
He called him a prick.
I know. I read that on Kotaku.com.
.edu. Video Game University.
Kotaku.biz. Okay. We were in Oakland yesterday, and there was some
I was in Oakland yesterday.
That just on its marquee or in its whatever its awning, it had a .biz URL as like the name of the store.
That's how you know they're serious about their business. Video
game. I remember there was one where you guys talking about being PC old men, and that made me very happy. That's all I really remember about the first series.
PC? Like,
you know, like talking about like using DOS and being pissed off about it and adjusting IRQs.
Oh, remember back in the day when you had to adjust an IRQ?
Mm-hmm.
Remember back when
we could totally bring that back. We could do like, what about config.sys? Autoexec.bat? Remember
Sean
when a
just
high
sort
mem?
Of like barber chairs his way down from the table? Like, leave me the fuck alone. You love that stuff though.
We just started
doing.
You
love IRQ settings like DMA or whatever the other one was. Was it DMA? What the fuck was the other three-letter acronym of thing you had to deal with? No, whatever. I don't care.
I was all about enabling MSCDEX.
Yeah. No shit.
For your compact disk system.
HiMem?
Multimedia HiMem.sys.
HiMem.
Fuck yeah.
No?
There was no config file for that.
The HiMem.sys? I hate everyone.
HiMem.sys.
Okay.
Oh.
That wasn't necessary.
All right.
That's apparently the Idle Thumbs version of saying water on. You can't do that on television.
It's
the 24th. Video
game. You ready?
Yeah.
Welcome back from the break of.
Hey,
oh,
guys.
Hey.
Hey,
claps.
Oh, claps. I'm sorry.
Super
the
snaps
clap.
And claps.
Super snaps and claps. you mean snaps and claps 64?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, that was the sequel to the SNES version. Super
there was
snaps
and
claps,
and then there was super snaps and claps, and there was snaps and claps 64.
And then snaps and claps Origins when they brought it back on the
yeah 5 years
PS2.
Later
yeah. Yeah on the PS2 probably Origins
yeah.
Snaps, claps, vengeance. Snaps, claps, and vengeance and shells.
Snaps and claps, vengeance is a good
the
game.
Reckoning.
And then, actually, now on the PS3, you can just get snaps
God,
and claps.
There's
which
been
is
a,
the reboot.
There's been like,
oh,
a,
it's like
a fucking string.
Yeah. Pokemon Red and
yeah,
blue
or green.
Blue.
The first there's been a string. Of
there's been a rash of
a rash
like
a string
like
of rashes.
Video game
people
titles
rashes?
Recently because there was Red Faction Origins, which is the new
TV.
Movie from based on Red Faction on the Syfy channel, and then there's Darkspore. And then there's what was
Dark
the most
Spore.
Recent one? Reckoning.
It was
fantasy game Kingdom of Fantasy Word Reckoning.
Yeah, it was Kingdoms of Amiurla or whatever
right.
colon Reckoning.
Yeah, but they're pitching the name of the game as Reckoning, yeah. like that's their refer to
it
everywhere.
And it's not the most recent, but it is definitely the very best. Is Rayman Origins?
Rayman Origins.
Rayman Origins.
Rayman Origins.
Rayman's Dark Past.
Lieutenant Raymond.
Yeah.
What was his last name?
Lieutenant
Origins.
Lieutenant Raymond Cannon.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. So that it fits into the continuity.
Yeah.
Right.
So that it is Raymond
double
Cannon.
Double-crossed by his team.
Yeah.
Left to die in a sinister facility.
In a whimsical forest.
My hand's over there. My other hand's over there.
But you'll find
he
can still move them.
Later in the game, he has to fight a crazy cyborg made out of his missing like forearms and like thighs.
Remember these? I don't know why he shoots lasers out of orifices, but that's what that robot would do.
That's true.
It's the origins of his haircut.
He does have that silly haircut.
I think that origin is shared with Guybrush from the Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition.
Which are both actually, I think, an homage to the Necro Flyer. No, his is a little, his flopped down.
Yeah, no, his
Necro Flyer
was
a center part.
His is almost the opposite of those, because don't Rayman and Guybrush hairdos like go way
they go
up?
Way up.
Yeah, Guybrush part on the side.
If the scared, it would probably be that haircut, though.
It's still, actually, it's just the Necroflyer's haircut important. Is the remnant of that. He's actually part of that origin as well. But his has lost.
That was how he was during.
That's how he was in his younger days.
Yeah. Yeah. But when he after he got turned into a Necroflyer.
Before the incident.
Yeah.
You mean when you became a Necroflyer?
Yes, that's the incident. That's what I meant. Shut up.
Rayman, what were you doing before the Necroflyer incident?
Oh, before he was just like he was just like you or
subtitle.
Me.
Subtitle,
not a Necroflyer.
No, before he was a Necroflyer, he was just a guy got a dead end job. You know.
Well, yeah. Before he was a Necroflyer, he
a
was
beautiful
Rayman.
Wife.
Just a guy with a sweet do. That's like the '90s Sega Genesis platformer version,
right?
He's just like
when,
you know,
he was, when he was Fido Dido,
yeah,
hanging out with Toe Jam and Earl,
yeah.
I like Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, that Toe Jam and Earl like poster that you found and brought it in.
Oh yeah, Willie Beamish has that haircut.
Yeah,
and a rat tail. I'm pretty sure.
Oh really?
I'm not mistaken. I think he did.
Willie Beamish.
Willie Beamish. He also had.
Did
a
you
frog
play Willie Beamish, Sean?
Friend.
No.
Get the fuck out of here.
We should grow rat tails for charity.
That's true.
That's a good idea.
I don't.
Rat
disagree.
Tails for kids.
In homage to Willie Beamish.
That's the subtitle, actually.
Subtitle, yeah.
I think the name of the game was Adventures of Willie Beamish.
It was.
Origins.
Willie Beamish Origins. Yeah. Holy shit, they could bring
Dynamics
it back.
Was working on Willie Beamish Vengeance before they got shut down by
Sierra.
It
was a tank sim, actually.
I want to see a modern game called Willie Beamish Origins.
Well, maybe it
they're
is like
it back.
How...
They're reviving that IP.
It's like how Commander Keen's grandpa is the guy from Wolfenstein, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
BJ Blazkowicz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Billy Blaze, yeah.
But he's
Billy Blaze is his like Ellis Island name. No, because his grandfather's already.
No, he's a Blazkowicz.
Oh, is he? He just goes
yeah,
by Blaze.
Yeah,
okay, wasn't like his family name.
No, that's
changed.
His cool name. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Before he became a Necroflyer.
This is complicated, guys.
Yeah,
I just want to see if anybody. I can almost guarantee, knowing what I do about the video game industry, that at some point someone was working on at least one sequel or reboot to Willie Beamish. Like, you know, maybe kind of like what was it? Curse of Monkey Island, the 3D Monkey Island sort
That's
of
escape.
Era.
Escape
from Monkey Island, yeah. Era where
Please.
It was like Willie Beamish, you know.
Oh yeah,
it,
yeah.
For,
like
for
when
PS1
there was Simon the Sorcerer 3D and all that
yeah,
shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean,
so I kind of if anyone was involved with this in any way and still has like the design
anyone,
docs that are
if
left
anyone
over
was involved
from,
with the unknown but inevitable
yes.
3D Willie Beamish reboot
from the definitely canceled Willie Beamish game that was once in development.
Aliens.
I guarantee it.
We know between 1999 and 2004 there was a fucking like 200 poly Willie Beamish.
Possibly as early as 1998.
Yeah, it was like the, you know, Leisure Suit Larry sequels that got released.
Right.
I know there was like just I think like 2003-04 there was a Space Quest 3D platformer that looked kind of like Psychonauts that was in production.
Wow.
Really? At Sierra?
No,
that's no,
it was at some company
anymore.
Called Escape Factory that disappeared immediately.
God, I bet
so
somebody tried
they
to bring
probably,
back
they
Night
probably
Trap
pitched
at some point.
Willie Beamish.
Oh, I bet.
What?
I bet somebody tried to bring back Night Trap at some point.
It was probably I bet someone did, and it was probably one of those like weird little publishers. Like, you know, South Peak Interactive or something that publishes just like,
weird.
You know, like the guys who, like the Boy and His Blob remake.
Oh, yeah.
From Majesco.
Yeah, which people kind of liked.
Yeah, actually, mm-hmm. They kind of did.
Oh, okay. I was just about to say I'm really looking forward to that, but I guess it came out.
You don't
It came out
know
years
about
ago, didn't
games,
it?
Did
I thought that was in the last year, I think.
I think it came out this year, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
or early this year,
in,
or maybe last
It was in
year.
Development for fucking
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, and they showed it really early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's like that.
Pretty much exactly like that.
If you run a Willie Beamish fan site and know about the canceled 2001
German,
version,
there's a chance that you are this person.
Anyway, questions at idlethumbs.net.
Yeah.
Or Willie Beamish fan.biz.
Willie
we're
Beamish.
Just, we're, assuming, we're assuming that a reader is just going to register that. Yeah. You know,
WillieBeamish.museum. The site is titled the Willie Beamish Museum.
Yeah, it was formerly hosted on GeoCities.
Yep.
Anyway, have you guys played Transformice?
I saw an internet video of it.
Yeah, we've been exposed to Transformice, but I haven't really.
But no,
played
I haven't
it.
Played
have
it.
Played it? None of you played
I haven't
it?
Played
All
it.
Right.
I briefly looked at
but
the video.
But the video is marvelous.
I haven't played Transformice for a couple weeks, but if you haven't played Transformice, the idea is that it's kind of like Lemmings with a like. Up to dozens and dozens and dozens of people playing simultaneously, where everybody controls one lemming, essentially. Like, you play one
except for
of...
you. Isn't there, like, one person that is, like, the guy playing lemmings?
No, not really. Well, no, there's like the shaman.
Yeah.
But he's in the world just like everyone else. But he also can, cast,
spawn things,
spawn items, and cast certain spells that do things and help people, ostensibly help people.
Can we stop for half a second?
Yeah.
I just want to say Wikipedia says that a sequel to Willy Beamish was reportedly planned, starring Willy Beamish as a late teenager, but the project was canceled.
What?
When was it?
100% called.
There's no source. It's an unsourced claim.
There's not even a date range?
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Because I wonder if it was, like, an immediate sequel, you know, like the year after it came out, or if this was, like, a revival
we'll
thing.
We'll never
like,
know.
Five or 10 probably, years later.
I bet it was a revival.
The art does remind me that he does have Guybrush Special Edition hair, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, Willy Beamish was 91 through 93.
Wasn't there only one game?
Yeah, but it's like all games of that era, it came out
like, on, like, Amiga and like, PC and Mac and, yeah.
Sega CD.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Transformice, yeah, which I almost called Informice.
Informice. There's a shaman who can help, like, ostensibly his goal is to help the other mice get to the cheese and then get back to the mouse hole.
But they are perfectly welcome to just be a big douche.
Yeah, they can just be a big douche if they want and, like, you know, spawn things that hurl people off of edges and things. Basically, the idea of Transformice is that it's both competitive and cooperative. So everybody, all of the mice in the game individually want to collect cheese from some other point on the screen and then get back to the hole. It's a flash-based, like, 2D side-scrolling
thing. Right, that's the purpose of the game, but the real purpose of the game is to reveal how fucked people are and
right.
Reveal the horribleness of
because
human nature
a lot
and
of times,
that society is doomed.
A lot of exactly. A lot of times there will be things that even though you want to get the cheese faster, like you're ranked on a leaderboard, so if you get there first, you're at the top of the leaderboard for that level and you get more points. But sometimes you actually need to work together because, for example, the level will be composed of, say, a huge seesaw. And so to actually get to the cheese, which is up in the air, you know, you need to have a bunch of people standing on one end of the seesaw, then other people need to go to the other end and jump
right,
up.
Then there's always, like,
course,
the one douche, like, I'm going to fucking go for it, and then...
Well, it's not the one douche, it's, like, it's just like, fuck it, go,
yeah.
Go, run now, go get it.
It's that nobody wants to be the guy helping, they
exactly.
want to
be the
guy,
they
getting,
be
the
guy
the
getting it first, yeah. And so then you have people who mean well, you know, and stick back, and then get totally fucked, because then once
that's
they've helped
the
everyone get
part.
The thing,
it's
everyone else
guy's
just...
Like, no, don't worry, guys, I'll stay!
Yeah,
and he just gets flung across the map.
And
so good.
There are so many ways, like... God, the first night I played Transformice was one of just, it was like a magical experience. It was just, because,
an
you know, there's all these different,
experience.
Because the levels are usually very simple. Sometimes, though, they require pretty complex things to go right. Like, a lot of times, there's really a lot of pressure on the shaman. Like, you'll have to build these complex bridges and, like, time things right and, you know, build things that are architecturally sound because the whole game is very, very, very heavily physics-driven. And, the shaman is the least intuitive thing to play ever. Like, if you're the shaman and you don't already know what you're doing, you can't figure it out your first time. And it's like, you know, it's like playing Counter-Strike or something where everyone else will just fucking get pissed at you if you don't know what's going on. And if you're the shaman and you fuck things up, but unlike Counter-Strike, it's fucking hilarious, you know, because everyone will be on this like little platform that, you know, and the shaman will need to build a bridge to like across a big gap to get to the cheese, and he'll start to build it. And of course, people don't fucking wait like 10
right,
seconds
like,
to see
oh,
if the
bridge
works.
Bridge
it's like,
built.
Oh, God, he put down a block. And everyone just like pours onto it. And of course, it just the whole thing falls out and everyone just plunges to their death. And every time, it's hilarious. Every single time. Like, there's one that's just the entire level is just a huge, you know, like wooden plank that extends basically the length of the screen being supported by just one fulcrum in the middle, and it's not attached, it's just balancing there, and there's cheese on either side, so you can go either direction to get it, so ideally half of the people would go to the left, half of the people would go to the right, they'd counterbalance each other out, they'd each get the cheese, they'd move back at the same rate, etc. That doesn't ever fucking happen. People just immediately rush out, and then it starts, you know, it starts tipping over to the left, and everyone's like, oh, shit! And they all start running back to the right, and then they way overcompensate, so it starts tipping over to the right. Everyone's like, oh, God, oh, shit! And they start running back again. And then, inevitably, this happens every time I've ever played this level, inevitably, eventually, the whole thing just tips a little too far, and the entire level falls off the screen, and everybody dies. And it's the funniest fucking thing every single time. This game is hilarious. I played this for hours and hours and hours. I played this for like a week actually on the NeoGAF forums. They had a room You can go. It's like Battle.net chat rooms where you can create a chat room just by joining the name of a room that doesn't exist yet. And so people would just make a gaff room, and it was pretty much always populated by, you know, a couple dozen people. And that was way more fun than playing with randoms, mainly because it's a French developed game, and a lot of the random people are French speakers. And it's much funnier if you can see the stuff that people are typing and going like, oh no, God, why isn't anyone helping me? So that was really fun. But the weird thing about this game is after about a week or so, I started realizing, like, I'm not really having very much fun with this anymore. Like, what's going on? Why isn't it hilarious when all the mice die? Like, that's so funny usually. And I realized it's because they weren't all dying anymore. Like, people had actually gotten good at this game. Like, it turned into actually what Counter-Strike is like, which is everybody knows the layout of, you know, Dust 2, like, to a incredible degree of accuracy, and people just fucking go in there, they fucking do it. The shaman knows exactly what's going on. He lays down the board, people run across, they work together, they finish it, and like, it's proceeding the way the designers probably originally intended it to go, but it's not as hilarious and awesome. Like, I feel like I experienced this amazing curve of this game, like this zeitgeist of just like this unique, unreplaceable experience of going into this crazy world where just nothing works and everything's insane and people are just falling to their death everywhere and everyone's laughing at it, and you and shamans just explode things and make everyone fly off the edges, and like just this crazy chaos of this game that's totally unique. I've never played any other game that is any remotely like this. And then people sort of came to terms with it and like figured it out, and the game itself evolved, and the whole feeling of playing the game evolved, and it turned into something totally different. And it was like, you know, it was like weird adolescent, you know, it was like being an adolescent and then becoming an adult.
I was just going to make a Lord of the Flies reference.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They just kind of figured their shit out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, no, we can all live happily here.
They all got jobs and picket fences. And, yeah. And, you know,
so if I played Transformers at this point, it would be boring and I'd be yelled at.
I don't know.
Or just because, the people from Gaff.
Yeah, is it because you were playing with the same group of people?
I think
the whole
it was
time?
Specifically because I was playing with Gaff. And so we went through, like you say, the Lord of the Flies. It was that controlled, you know, like concentrated experience, which was really like that in itself was actually interesting once I became cognizant.
And,
of the
it makes
evolution.
Sense that it's sort of like a week later, the only people that are still left playing it are the guys that really care about it and want to be good at it. Whereas when you first played it, it's just like every random
like,
person.
Oh man,
like,
guys, falling
let's,
off.
Let's try this out. Yeah. Let's try this out. Oh, that's fucked up. And they played it for a couple hours and then quit. You know, so probably
but
if you played with more
while,
random people, it would probably
be
more like this. I don't know.
Also, the developers have started adding more levels, and I haven't played it since then. But I'm assuming that with the addition of new levels, and I think they're even adding new mechanics.
Every time a new level,
if they
shows
keep
up,
that
clarity,
going in like Team Fortress 2 style, you know, and they keep
what
Jake is interested, you know, like that could keep the game new enough that people don't get too settled into it.
Yeah.
But it's anyway, the concept is really cool. It's if you search for Transformice, I forget the address, but I think it's transformice.com or org or something. But what you want to do is type /en at the end of the URL because that's the English client. I don't think there's a link.
Is there any reason it's called Transformice?
I have no idea. The name is not. Yeah, it's. I think it's because the people who made it are French.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
Just watching the video, what's hilarious to
the
me.
Video is amazing.
It's so good. Yeah, the video
the one
is
with
really,
the
really good.
Is Big Adventure music
playing?
Oh, yeah. By the way, this game has no sound because they said it was too taxing on the server to stream sound while you're playing in a game with like 60 other people. So basically what you want to do is search for on YouTube Infinite Breakfast Machine, and one of the top responses will be a link to a site that just plays YouTube videos on repeat forever, and you go to the Breakfast Machine from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and that's the correct background music. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, it makes the experience a million times more hilarious.
That's also the most linked YouTube video has that song playing in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's a nice, because like, it's everything you say. At least what you were saying, like kind of the complete deconstruction of like society. Nobody's working together. Everybody's going for their own thing.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. But in the bottom, there's still like a community of people in the chat that are like, no. Yeah. Like, let's just. Yeah. Which is great because you see like their animal instinct versus their human instinct in the same screen. And that made me laugh a lot.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, and the best thing is when you
it's a microcosm of our fucking human society.
Oh, it is. All mice in a virtual environment with a shaman who can spawn planks of wood.
The shaman's Barack Obama.
The best moments in the chat
with George
are
W.
when.
Bush, but all right.
Oh shit!
Well, there is a blue shaman and a fuchsia shaman, so maybe they can be both.
George W. Bush.
George W. Shaman.
Fuchsia shaman.
What do you think the W stands for? The wizard.
Good one, Steve.
Good job.
Yeah, that's, wow. It's pretty much what it stands.
Yeah, it's.
But yeah, the best moments in chat are always the ones where you can see like the seesaw going back and forth, and everyone, it's like 99% certain it's going to just end in tears, but people are holding out hope that it won't. And they're like, come on, guys, we can do it. And then like no chat for several seconds because everyone's just focusing intently on trying to stabilize the thing. And then it's gone. And then the entire chat window.
The one that I heard is
and the
when,
chat
like,
is represented, like, in addition to being in the chat window, they also
the
mirror it on Word
bubbles
in the thing.
Yeah.
And so the whole screen just fills up with hilarious shit. It's good.
The one I remember is when there's the one mouse, like, everybody runs across the plank and gets cheese, and everybody runs back really fast. But one guy's like, oh, I'm just going to get the cheese at my own pace. And then everybody makes it back, but the platform's fucked by that time. So it's like everybody's over there near the hole, and there's the one guy on the other side of the map. Just waiting to get back, and you can do it, you can do it. And he just slowly teeters out to the edge, and he dies.
That's a common situation.
The one guy sort of thing, like you can make it, is gonna.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I'm very tired.
That's okay.
What else you guys been up to? Aside from Transform Mice.
You played Alpha Protocol.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you guys talked about Alpha Protocol.
You beat it, though.
I beat it. I finished it. I fucking owned it.
You're the video game master.
Yeah. I killed that game.
I completed it, too. I forget if I talked about it since I finished it. But
yeah,
I killed that game. I completed it as well.
I body slammed that game to death.
Oh, shit.
With your body.
Very quickly. I played through the game and maybe, like, did you look at what your playtime was at the end?
It was about 18 hours.
Okay. Yeah, mine was like 13.
Okay.
And
did you do a lot of like unnecessary missions?
I did all of the missions that ever came up.
Sense if you missed any?
Well, I mean, it's,
because
it,
one of the things
it
about
seemed
this
like
game
the branching
was interesting was
it
that,
seemed like the branching was pretty like broad. Like you it seemed like there was a lot of content that you could easily miss by
yeah,
making a dialogue choice.
That's very
choice.
True, yeah. Which I thought was cool personally.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I pursued all of the optional stuff that I could. I just played through it really quickly because I was max pistols, max shotgun, max body armor,
max ides.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
You weren't here last week. It's okay.
No, I wasn't. Sorry. So I basically spent the whole game just like an alarm was always on. I would I would sprint towards guys while unloading my pistol and then just punch them to death the rest of the way. And it was just a straight up. You know, run and gun, destroy everything as hard as possible.
You stealthed everything, didn't you? Chris, you were invisible.
I was totally invisible.
Yeah, I could just tell that, like, it seemed like the stealth in that game would be really frustrating, because when I would just get seen by guys always,
stealth.
When they see you, they're instantly aggroed on you. There's no, like, middle state I saw him.
Yeah.
It's more like, okay, I'm creeping around. I'm creeping up behind this guy.
Hey, there's a guy there. Look at that guy.
Yeah. And then everybody's pissed off and it's just like, well, good thing I didn't actually try to sneak and just eradicated
everyone.
See,
the thing is, that's true about stealth. The way that you get stealth to work is just by never letting them see you because you're invisible. So, like, if you actually try to play the game like a human would be stealthy, that doesn't work. But the game, like, basically it seems like some designer on the team was like, shit, we need a stealth system, but we don't support that at all. What do we do to, like, have the guy not be seen? Make him invisible. Just turn him fucking invisible. Turn off the polygons. Like, you know, I mean, there's no justification or reason for it other than, I guess, it's sort of the way that I was thinking about it in my brain. And this is the problem with video games always being from a protagonist's perspective.
Yeah.
It's like, for example, in a Jason Bourne movie, what that would be is just he's impossibly there all of a sudden. And no, like the bad guy didn't see how he snuck up behind him and get him. And
like Batman
even as,
disappearing, but opposite.
Exactly like that. And like the viewer of the movie doesn't see behind the curtain. He just sees all of a sudden this guy's there. All of a sudden he's not. I sort of, like, maybe that's what Alpha Protocol was trying to do. Like, they're trying to create the impression of, oh, you're this crazy invisible Superman who can just do this. Maybe. The problem is, there's no way to represent that in a video game when there's continuity.
I don't even think it was that. I think it was just RPG powers. Because, like, when I used my combat abilities and stuff, I would do, like, some animation of, like the barbarian, like, enrage animation. I'd get, like, a red shader over myself when I, like, turned on my, you know, shotgun power-up ability or whatever. I think they were just, like, I think it was totally abstract. Just, like, what do we have? We have talents, you know? We have, like, special powers that this guy has. You can just, like, make it so your shotgun knocks everybody down for a while. Because, you know, and, like, okay. That was the approach they took of just, like, very RPG-ish, not really trying to support. What would this actually be in real life? Well, we don't care. You level up.
Well, yeah, but it did make me think about that relationship, though, because the real life is not even, like, it doesn't come into play, like, in these situations. You know, like, when you think about a spy movie or a movie about some kind of crazy stalker character, like Predator-like character, you know, the movie never, ever, ever has to justify how the character does those things.
Yeah.
Whereas in a game...
Well, except in the Predator, he has optical camo and stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they don't have to show him...
You just need to say the word optical camo in your set.
Like, they don't have to show him doing all the stages literally. Along. Like, that movie would be really ineffective if you were following the Predator all the time and seeing where he was going. Like, it's effective because, oh shit, all of a sudden he's right there.
Yeah, we're not you're from the there. Point of view of the
you
guy
don't need
being
to see
stalked,
the Predator
and
be like,
right.
oh man, that guy's going over to the left. I gotta go get behind this column. And boo, in your face, Predator! Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Exactly,
nice
yeah.
one, Predator. But he's like, oh, good work. That's him talking to himself to psych himself up after that.
But it's
it takes
difficult,
a lot out of you being the Predator.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, sometimes the actual protagonist is the guy who's that powerful or that skilled.
Yeah.
But like,
but
I
they
know,
still
you...
show it from the point of view of the guy being stalked in those situations.
Exactly.
It's more dramatic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I was trying to, like, this game made me think, how would you do that in a video game? And it would be difficult, I guess. And you might be right that maybe that wasn't even what they were thinking of in Alpha Protocol. It may not have been at all, but it did make me think about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was your overall thinking on Alpha Protocol?
My overall impression was that I kind of, like, it was weird. I kind of liked it. Like, you know, like I just enjoyed it. I can't remember if we've talked about this kind of concept before on the podcast.
I've talked about it with you personally, for sure.
Maybe, yeah. But the idea of, like, a game that's just kind of good,
yeah,
not really bad, not really great, but, like, you know, it presents, like, a number of fairly simple challenges that you can just kind of burn through and just sort of enjoy in an almost ambient way. I think the way that we've maybe talked about it before, it's like gaming comfort food.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it's just sort of like, well, this thing doesn't really... you know, make me think very much. It's not really doing anything that I haven't seen before, but it's like this chunk of content that I can just kind of do. It's like, I know this is a video game. I can play this. I'll just go through, I'll shoot these guys. Oh, there's a thing. I'll play the little mini game. Oh, I got an experience point. You know, it was like the shooting wasn't great. You know, like the level design was generally, you know, serviceable, but you know, you just kind of like went into the side room and got the thing that had an icon hanging over it and played your little hacking mini game and then, you know, got your bonus. Like the dialogue and plot and stuff was just sort of like silly. And but in the end, even though it didn't do anything outstandingly, I just kind of had a nice time playing it. You know, it was just sort of a nice little game.
I sort of agree, and I sort of don't. I feel the same way about kind of the combat scenarios and level design for sure, but those ended up not really being the game for me, especially once I like went fully invisible and was able to bypass a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
For me, like the main, I actually did feel the game had some kind of unique stuff to offer in the way that the dialogue was structured, mainly because most kind of Western action RPGs these days posit that your character is broadly shaped by individual conversations you have.
Yeah.
Whether they give them a good bad meter or like a notoriety meter or, you know, something like that. They essentially propose the idea that you say this to this guy and someone on the other side of the world knows you're a douche because of it or knows you're a nice guy. The thing I liked about Alpha Protocol is it basically proposed the idea like humans actually are in this game, you can be a total dick to this person and they will perceive you to be a dick. That has absolutely no bearing on how anyone else perceives you. And that's what it's actually like to deal with people.
It's the Dragon Age style. You just have reputation with individuals based on what you do.
Right. Exactly. Which I like a lot more, but
I think it's, I thought that, I mean, that was cool. Sure. It didn't. In a lot of cases, it didn't seem to have a ton of impact on how the game played out.
It allows you to like extract more information from them that can either help you on missions or, in some cases, give you entire missions. Like if you don't pursue a path of discussion with someone that they appreciate or that they respect or whatever, they may just not give you a mission at all. And the game also starts to reflect your play style. So like early on in the game, God, we probably already talked about this, didn't I? I'm sure I did. So I won't go
over
it again.
Repeat conversation sirens are here.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm probably done.
No, but I mean, there were some parts where there was definitely like, especially late in the game, very distinct branching outcomes. You know, like there was a part late in the game where I restarted this mission because I realized I had missed this like side mission, you know, that I wanted to do. Yeah. And earlier in the mission, there had been this thing where it was like, you go to this computer station. It's like, do you want to contact this character or download this secret information to your PDA? Because you can only do one. And when I first played it, I downloaded it to my PDA, and it was like, this character you thought was your friend was really a assassin sniper. Isn't that fucked up? And you're like, oh, that is fucked up. And so when I went and talked to that character in that mission, you confront them, and I had the option in that thing, like, execute this character or spare them, because you're like, you were the assassin. That's fucked up. And
that's
so
cool. I could find that out till much later in the game.
And so I could kill them. And then I started the mission over, and instead of getting the PDA information, I talked to the dude, and I talked to him for a while. And then when I went and encountered that character again, my character didn't even know that they had been the assassin, and they became like my friend for the rest of that mission.
That's what happened to me, and I didn't.
And so that's pretty interesting, you know. It's like there's a character lives or dies, not just based on did I choose the kill this character conversation option in the one conversation that's ever going to happen with them.
That branch doesn't even.
Yeah, open. I actually had two totally different conversations based on what really knowledge my character had.
That's the kind of. I had a couple experiences like that in this game where
So some of that stuff was impressive, but a lot of it also. On the other. I don't know. The game made me think about like conversation system stuff like that, and it made me think about. There are kind of three levels of approaches to that, to like how much impact your choices and dialogue make on the game, and kind of like how much play there is and how much actual agency you have in conversations, wherein on one level you always have the same conversations in the same order, and it's just an information ATM, you know, and some games are like that. And the second level where Alpha Protocol kind of lives is like there are distinct branches within conversation. They lead to other branches that, you know, branch further, etc. But it's always going to be like you talk to this person first and you branch to these and then you talk to that one.
It's
or
a
that one
chart, yeah.
And the third is something like the most memorable section of Mass Effect 1 for me, which was Novaria in the talkie part of it, where you actually like very intentionally use information and go back and forth between multiple characters to manipulate a situation intentionally towards the end that you desire. And it can play out a bunch of different ways depending on like, oh, I found out this from this person, so I decided to go talk to this other person and tell them this misinformation. And then, you know, like, and you can really you can control what outcome happens in a way that's much more deep and player driven than just like I chose lie or not lie when I got to this.
That's
branch,
still structurally
you know?
The exact same thing. Yeah, it's just the reason finely
it's
grained.
It's
not, and because it's circular. Like you know, like you.
But you still lock on. I mean, you still essentially
layout of that is still the same.
You're still locking off
more branches.
Branches or not, the difference is Mass Effect presents it in a way where you can walk around a world and choose what character you want to interact with in what order.
Exactly.
But the end states are still...
There's still a huge number of binary logic gates opening up branches. I mean, I feel like the third, or I guess the fourth thing is actually... And this is the stupid fucking game that always is brought up because it's... And I'm tired of saying it. But Facade.
Yeah.
Right. But that's because the characters in that actually have, like, mood AI
motivations
and stuff that, and character motivations on top of your player actions. There's actual character AI. Whereas in Mass Effect... No matter how complicated that tree gets, it's still a huge string of designer-written dialogue gates.
No, it
like a character
is.
Won't eventually just be like, "You're lying because I didn't," you know.
But
and
I'm talking
the person
about...
who wrote that dialogue goes, "What? Why the fuck does that character now think that I'm lying?"
Yeah,
you know.
No, I mean, I'm talking about like
just in dialogue tree okay.
structure.
Yeah, it's basically a presentation. Thing. I mean, like
it's not really presentation though, because in Alpha Protocol you're never like put in this hub area.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I, when I say presentation, I mean just the framing for how that tree plays out, like how you're allowed to explore it. Essentially,
it just in the structure I'm talking about, it becomes a non-linear tree more or less, where in what order you you know, go to which node is chosen by the player compared to you'll always meet this character, then this character.
Right.
Non-linear in the sense that, like, you know, like a game like Bioshock or something is non-linear. I mean, things are still broadly going to happen in the same order.
Right. No, but I'm not talking about, like, procedurally generated conversation or anything like that. But I don't know. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that was the kind of thing where, you know, in Alpha Protocol, it didn't really make me think deeply about the choices I was making in a way that, you know, in a situation like that in Mass Effect, I was really like, oh, man, I have to think about what's going to happen. Who do I want to talk to next and what do I want to say to them? Because I'm planning, you know, I'm kind of, I have the intention of coming to this one outcome.
I will say that in a lot of cases, the Mass Effect example is particularly a good one. Because a lot of games that work like that work that way implausibly, where that occurs over much greater geographical distances and time frames, and the game is just essentially on hold as you go around and do that. And to me, that really exposes the fact that underneath it, it really still is this static tree.
Yeah.
Mass Effect is nice because that whole thing takes place in basically one building.
Yeah.
So it really ameliorates a lot of those problems.
And I think it's similar to some of the successful instances of that in like Deus Ex,
you know, where you're in Hell's Kitchen or something,
and you go between these few characters in the bar and kind of manipulate them.
And I think the reason that Alpha Protocol works the way it does is because they want it to be a jet-setting espionage game. But if you could do, you know, like Indiana Jones map and just click around and have the airplane fly to the thing whenever you want,
then it would also be silly.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, Alpha Protocol, you could definitely see like, okay, I'm going through this one playthrough, you know, in this playthrough I chose A instead of B, and now at this one cutscene, this person showed up on my view screen instead of the other person.
Right.
And if I play this again and I choose B instead of A, well, then I guess the other guy will show up, you know. And I don't know. It feels a little bit just more kind of like transparently limited to me, you know, when you're kind of just like cutting off content that way. But
I didn't mind that. I like that, actually. But anyway, there was a thing you pointed out on Twitter, which was that sort of regardless of which thing you say, basically, like regardless of choosing like suave answer or like jerk answer or aggressive answer, they're all pretty much douche answer.
except possibly the one that's labeled professional.
Yeah,
where it's normally just kind of the driest
pro douche.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're generally at that point, you're just sort of like, here would be the most analytically correct approach to take.
Lay it by the book.
All the other ones where you have any kind of like personality behind it.
Douche.
He's always such a douche. Yeah. It's amazing.
Snarky
a lot of it's just a lot of it's just down to the voice actor too, who is the douchiest sounding man.
Everything
he says is like, well, even just a totally innocuous line is just like, yeah, I guess I'll have a cup of coffee. And it's like, what? All right, fine, asshole.
Yeah, but it makes all of these like fate of the world conversations. So
these are the guys who look like
Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro.
Yes, yes.
They look like Phoenix on Letterman.
I didn't have a Castro situation in my game.
Oh, you didn't.
Which maybe he just had like whatever tousled hair or whatever it was called, and a 5 o'clock shadow and like glasses.
Should have gone for the beard.
Yeah, I know, right? But
the reason I brought that up is because did you guys see today the details that came out about Dragon Age 2 conversation system, which consists like, so, you know, I mentioned Dragon Age in comparison to or you did, I guess,
the
in comparison to Alpha Protocol, because I really liked that there was actually a huge amount of subtlety in the conversations in that game. And they, you know, you'd say things that would influence your party members in different ways. And they really avoided doing the sort of modern day Western RPG,
good, evil
response. Yeah. And I thought that was really awesome. I like that you actually could read what your character was going to say and then say a thing that had these different layers to it. I guess actually what Dragon Age 2 is good, nasty, or badass. That's your... Those are your fucking choices.
So instead of taking inspiration from their own dialogue mechanic, they took inspiration from their trailer.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So wait, it's not even... Is it even the same as Mass Effect, or it has like a summary of what you're going to say?
Or is it just say
goodness?
There's three buttons. The radio control actually is just...
they say that
That's how it would be in Alpha Protocol. It would just be like sarcastic, cool, professional.
I mean, they're going to be represented by icons, but I don't know if there's also going to be text, but it sounds like it might just be straight up like the asshole icon.
Good, nasty, or badass.
That's the worst.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nasty.
What are you talking about? That's the greatest. Especially
if
there's a stinger,
who needs
where it's
any
like when you pick
agency
it,
over dialogue.
When you pick it and it goes nasty, and then he says his line. Oh, that'd be so good.
As the UI fades away.
Nasty.
Badass. What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nasty.
Yeah, I just like I mean, if they're going to do that, just go the whole way with it. So when he says nasty, it's just a horrible, despicable, just gross shit.
Yeah.
And then when he says badass, it is just, you know.
Blood drips down on your screen, like the camera.
Yeah.
He puts sunglasses on. In the fantasy
movie. Yeah, there's an option for, like, CSI Miami.
There's a fourth option where you just walk away from explosion without looking back.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's badass.
You say those lines and an explosion will always appear behind you and he silhouettes for a second except for the glasses which all mirror, like, the explosion mirror that's behind him.
Behind him, yeah.
Is that a reference to, like, the Bad Boys 2 movie poster?
It probably is. But it feels like
been in some movie poster.
I think it's a thing that's maybe in multiple
whenever
things.
Anyone is a badass and an explosion is being walked away from, also it's reflected in their glasses.
Yeah. It's because there's a huge mirror in front of them.
Right.
So they can observe how badass
they are without anyone being
without
on the effect.
That's also why they don't turn around.
Right, because it's just shown. If a moment like that ever happens to you that's that badass,
that's far away.
They bring in a mirror for you.
Yeah. Yeah. They wheel it in.
Yeah.
They airdrop it.
Nasty.
Good.
But yeah.
Badass.
The fucking guy. He would be talking to some dude that was basically controlling the fate of the world, you know, like behind the scenes, like corporate dude that's like, you know, pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
And he mentions something, you know, like he quotes Nietzsche or something, and you just choose like suave or whatever, and your dude is like, didn't know I was up for a philosophy lesson, and me without my notepad and pencil. You're just like, what the fuck, dude?
It is amazing how cavalier that guy can be about, like, millions of lives potentially perishing.
And just kind of childish, you know, towards some dude that's, like, you know, bleeding and stuff. And you're like, guess you shouldn't have fucked with me. You're just like, what is wrong with you? You just, like, that guy's dying because you just shot him a
cigarette
bunch
down
of
on
he does sometimes come off as, like, the lame school bully who's not quite clever enough to, like,
definitely
sort of actually respond to, like, you know, the jibe.
Yeah.
Well, you can't always just say, so's your face, as one of the dialogue response anyway in that game.
It's like an adventure game insult contest.
Yeah.
Not just that part.
Yeah. So it's a pretty goofy game.
It is a very goofy game.
It's a very goofy game, but I don't really regret my time with it.
I don't regret my time with it at all, actually. I would like to see...
It was enjoyable.
I think they
enough.
Declared they're not making a sequel, but I'd really like to see... Obsidian used some of these systems in another game. Anyway.
Maybe they will.
Should we get some reader mail?
We could read some mail.
I love readers.
Oh, from you or from them, the readers.
Mail from you, the readers.
Well, Jake also reads this podcast, so he could send in some mail.
Oh, yeah. Jake's all the mail this week was from Jake.
That's true. I transcribe the podcast and then read the podcast and then send email about the podcast under a variety of names.
Mainly
like what?
Jake.
Like what, Chris?
Jacob.
Like
J-A-2-K-E. Because
you're reading them.
This is the New York Times crossword puzzle. This actually really does get harder over the course of the week, by the way.
Yeah.
I've never really, like, I've only ever mainly done crosswords when I was on the plane.
Oh, no, I used to do
I always
the time
do crosswords
college.
On the plane. I still always do on the plane.
I thought you were looking up reader mail.
Well, yeah, I'll do that afterwards.
Crossword's a game. We can talk about that.
Yeah, crossword's totally a game. Now, I downloaded the New York Times crossword puzzle app on my iPhone, and you buy, like, a subscription that lasts a certain amount of time. And I've been doing it. Basically, I've done every one this week from Sunday through today's, which is Friday at the time we're recording.
Yeah, it gets hard.
And it gets fun. Yeah, like the Monday one, I'm like, this is a fucking piece of cake. And the Friday one, it's fucking difficult. Like, they go from being the easier ones are like.
It is really hard!
Like,
I thought they were just dropping off some more difficulty for good.
You guys talking about crosswords up there?
They're very hard.
But it's fun. I'm really enjoying it, actually.
Cool. Maybe we should take a break and you can find some email.
Do that. Be back in no time at all.
In a jiffy. It'll almost feel like we didn't take a break.
And we're back.
Video games.
Did I tell you, I came home and Adam was sitting in his room. I was like, hey, man, like, what's up? You've been playing the PS3? He's like,
yeah.
And he's just kind of having a bad week. He's like, I'm like, what are you playing? He's like, the fucking Far Cry 2 game that you won't fucking stop about. I was like, yeah? And I was like, it's like, you know, like, he's my best friend the whole planet, the world, and, you know, the universe.
He was upset about it.
He was. Not even upset. He's just kind of tired, and he's sitting there. I was like, so how long did you play? He's like, 2-3 hours. I was like, oh, so you liked it. He's like, fuck no. The game's fucking stupid. He's like, I get in a car. I don't know where to go. And then guys shoot me, and that's fucking it. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I don't have any fucking bullets. So then I found a gun. It fucking broke. This is a fucking game. He was so mad. It's at every point where the game thwarts you by being real. Yeah, it was. It did not please him.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is.
I was like, play Super Mario Galaxy. Dude, yeah, you'd be happy. No,
that is what happens in that game. Like, yeah. A lot of the things people really hate, or like, I mean, there are things that people don't like about the game, but then there are people who just hate the game. And a lot of the reasons people hate the game are like, especially in the context of modern video games, it's like, yeah, you're right. That's true. That's what happens. And like, if you aren't into that or like aren't into what results from that, then yeah, it's you're gonna
I just wish
it.
I had a webcam up or while he was playing just to see him being like, okay, fine, fucking sweet, I finally just killed those guys. Right. And then like the malaria sits in,
right?
Yeah. Like just the idea that game does choose the best time. That game just fucks you. Like there's a constant dice roll of like, do I fuck him right now?
Yeah,
I'm gonna fuck him. I'm gonna do it. I might just like,
got
pretend
the AI director of just
yeah, like, it does. Oh AI god, maybe behind a crate and just smack. Man, why is this not working?
Speaking of AI director, I saw Darkspore at the EA event, which I know, it actually looks pretty fun. Mainly because it's not dark at all. I don't really know why it's called that. It's like basically Diablo style game, but like with kind of bright colors and like sports.
So it's Diablo 3.
It was like, I mean, yeah, did you play the Nintendo DS game Spectrobes?
No, I didn't.
I don't know. The moment I saw Darkspore, I thought of Spectrobes or something because there are these dark Spectrobes.
There's these dark spores.
Yeah.
Well, you also collect like characters in Darkspore, which also happens in Spectrobes, right?
Yeah, you go around and you like have a little.
It's like Pokemon.
Yeah, sonar thing, but then you dig. And you get a fossil, and then you have to like chip away at the fossil, lest you break the baby Spectrum inside.
Well, I don't think Darkspore has that.
Then you have to wake them up by speaking to them, which is awesome.
Like through the microphone?
Yeah.
You say, "Come on, little one."
Yeah. And they all have different. They
Dino
all have different
DNA.
Dino DNA. Yeah, Mr. DNA is licensed by Disney, who made that game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, weird, right?
What about can you use the stylus to control the prosthetic arm of Samuel L. Jackson?
You can back up your character.
Maybe the Kinect will have that.
That should be
Can you use the Kinect for XBLIG? Like, can you
Live Indie game?
Can you write an Xbox Live Indie game that supports Kinect?
You know what? If Jay Allard was in charge, he would let you.
That, actually. I don't
because
know.
If so... Holy fucking shit. A, we are teaming up to release back into Samuel L. Jackson's arm in your living room. That's the whole game. And then you say, oh, thank God it's you.
No!
And then the game's over.
Idle Thumbs Productions presents.
Yeah, fuck that.
I like
Done.
This.
We're making that game.
I like this.
Happening.
We can make that, I think. We can probably do
that. That'd be totally doable.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, just
we're
make
all computer
it
programmers.
Like, you know,
we would probably need a programmer, but
if Kinect input, then back into
arm. Yeah, pretty. That would compile in XNA. I think I heard it's pretty easy language, pretty easy development environment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The BLIG.
The
XNA.
I heard the BLIG is all about backing into an arm with Kinect.
That
XNA is not the most complicated thing on the planet. For
no.
Video game.
Dear Thumbs, I heard Chris Cheese Plate Ramo. What?
What? Oh, yo, you mean? Oh no!
Is that a thing?
That guy's mistaken. By Cheese Plate, he really means.
I heard Chris Cheese Plate Ramo on the Gamers with Jobs podcast saying the Fender Squire guitar in Rock Band 3 was an inferior guitar. To us non-musicians, what makes the Squire less of a guitar? Also, I'm very disappointed with the lack of baboos in recent casts. Please
baboo, baboo,
cheers,
Gunga Galunga.
Yeah, we're replacing that with.
Please attend the Idle Thumbs PAX panel featuring Nick Brecken. Which, because it features Nick Breggin, is sure to contain a boo-boo.
And because it contains a room full of Idle Thumbs listeners, is sure to contain a boo-boo.
Yeah, that's true.
Bird noise, people screaming wizard.
So, as far as the Squire guitar goes, basically what I meant is that like a Squire guitar is actually a fine guitar, like especially if you're starting to play.
It's fine.
It's okay for you.
I mean, it's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's not like a high-end guitar at all. But
on the scale of good guitar to Rock Band controller for the PlayStation, it's probably way closer to the guitar.
Well, it is in fact an actual guitar.
Closer.
So yeah. The reason I when I was talking about that, the reason I was saying it's a very difficult purchase to justify is because I actually do own a guitar. Like, I own an actual Fender, which is the nicer version of a Squire. And a lot of, I assume other people who play guitar already own.
If you've only ever owned plastic controllers
exactly,
and you're looking
right.
To use Rock Band to teach you the basics of how a guitar works.
And then also maybe serenade a lady.
You cannot go, oh, it's hardly a,
No, no. I'm just saying. I think you know.
Is
it's
that
not,
the market?
Guitar is not a
question.
Rare instrument. Like, I think there probably are a lot of people who play guitar and play Rock Band. Like, I don't think that's a small group of people.
That's true. But this guitar seems entirely geared towards people who have, like, they've been playing Rock Band and it's made them want to learn a guitar. And this is like the safety step. Yeah. This is the training
and you
wheels
can
guitar.
Sell a Squire for an amount that someone like that would pay.
Yeah.
Right.
And I will
that
say
was my
actually,
question, who
a couple,
did you think this was for?
Well, I you're right. It is for that.
Because it's
for
not
those people.
For you at all.
Yeah, who do you think you are, Chris?
No, no, I didn't
this
mean
game
it like
is
that.
Not for
I was
you.
Just curious who you thought that.
Oh, I actually don't think that it's for Chris.
I'm
no,
so
I
confused.
Think, I think,
if
I
we
think,
stripped all the sarcasm out of this yeah, section, just, we would be left with nothing.
I'm not being sarcastic.
I know, but
I think the last person on Earth who is going to be interested in buying this is you.
Well, I didn't know I was in
I don't
for
think
a philosophy.
That's true. I mean,
no,
like,
my dad's not going to buy it.
If someone gave me that for free, I would totally take. Like, I think it's a cool. I think it's actually really cool.
So you're saying
like,
you would steal it?
The other day, I actually played Rock Band 3, and I played the guitar that is in between the regular Rock Band guitar just and the crazy
one. The one that's the Rock Band controller with 1,000
buttons
on it?
With a million buttons, yeah. And I, after doing that, I would say if you're someone who might be interested in the crazy Squire one, I would just say go for that. Because the weird middle one with a million buttons, which is the pro guitar for Rock Band 3, is like it's so complicated. You might as well.
So they're selling a plastic guitar that just has like dozens of buttons.
Yeah,
it has as many
it.
Buttons
yeah.
as a guitar.
There's the Rock Band 2
Holy
guitar.
Shit.
Then there's the every string on every fret is a button guitar. And then there's just the guitar that it can detect. Yeah. Like, just get the goddamn guitar.
The middle one sounds horrifying.
Well, yeah, and the problem with it is
the concept
one,
of that many.
The middle
buttons
one is
in
just
one
for the raddest
like
YouTube videos. Basically, what that was for the guy going.
Well, like, do you think they're gonna try to like spur? Because I feel like Guitar Hero kind of has the lock on competitive that. Because they're, I feel like they're
well, clearly
their
what
songs
Harmonix
are more competitive.
Is moving towards is trying to actually educate people.
Well,
people
I mean, do you think that middle
music?
Guitar is maybe like, oh, and hey, this can be like a competitive thing?
No, because it really works like an actual guitar. There, when you play that in pro mode,
it is like a stepping stone to teach you a guitar.
Yeah,
oh, I see. So it is still a part of that mission.
The problem is you're learning how to recognize a fretboard without learning how to like properly press down on a string on a fret. So you're not developing like the physical muscle memory on your fingers.
Yeah.
That's gonna. So
that
you're,
seems
you're,
like a weird thing to exist.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to justify it. Like, okay, if I'm them, why am I making this?
I think it is.
That's an expensive
harmonics
thing to manufacture.
Decided to take different, like, just increasing steps on the familiarity slash scared person scale. Like, oh, well, I understand the Guitar Hero guitar, so this, I'm not having to actually learn how to play a guitar. I can still just press
still
the buttons on the video game.
Yeah.
But if you're that good at
it, my
only
point
think
is
that
they're making
that
same
like
step.
Ready to step it up? I don't know.
Well, I think that's what Harmonix would contend.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's what they're saying. They're trying to give all these different points along the spectrum.
Yeah. I don't know. It just instinctually it seems weird to me to think of someone who is so good at Guitar Hero that they need a controller that has all the same buttons as frets.
Yeah, but
I understand
that's
what
you're
why
saying, I was bringing up the competition thing.
This still
maybe it's for a different type of person.
Just from a product offering perspective, this still makes more sense to me than just offering the 5-button and the full-on crazy
real
guitar.
Yeah, I think the like the human comfort scale is completely satisfied with all this.
Like some people are just never going to spend whatever. I mean, I don't know how much the Squire costs.
Yeah, how much are they selling that for?
I don't know.
A couple hundred bucks.
But whatever it is, there are going to be people who just aren't willing to pay that.
Because, like, a Squire in real life that doesn't interface with Rock Band 3 is only, like, $150 or something.
Yeah, but this has a lot of crazy shit in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more complicated than an actual real Squire
is. Can you plug that into your computer, then, and do crazy shit with that?
I don't know. You can definitely plug the...
I don't know.
I played all the instruments.
I know nothing about any of this stuff.
I played all the instruments, actually, the other day, including the keyboard, which is... I mean, it is
just a MIDI controller.
It's an actual MIDI controller, which is awesome. And you play it and it's crazy. Like, you know, they've got the pro mode and then the normal mode.
That's box quote right there. You play it and it's crazy.
You play it and it's crazy.
Dash Chris Remo.
On the pro mode, I mean, again, this is obvious and it's been said before, but it's still surprising when you do it. You're actually really playing the same stuff on keyboard that the keyboardist in that song is playing, including chords and the full range of the thing. Like, it's
is there when you were playing this, did you get the sense that they actually in any capacity teach you the musical side of it?
Absolutely
this?
Not. That's the problem with it.
Oh, that blows, because the thing that would be nice about the if you were playing with the actual Squire guitar and you were playing the Rock Band shit, but if they would eventually just break that down so it would start throwing chords at you on the bars instead of just red, green, purple or whatever. I mean
Oh well I mean
It basically, I mean, can you at least learn to play a chart off of that?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically like reading Guitar Tab.
Okay. Yeah, it must be scrolling.
It's basically like a
tab chart,
big scrolling guitar tab.
But the piano one, you're not going to eventually get the sheet music for.
No, no. The piano one, that's what I was talking about, specifically the piano.
Okay.
Because, but even Guitar Tab doesn't teach you anything about theory. That's the thing. Even Guitar Tab, just not related to Rock Band, it still doesn't teach you anything.
But you at least are learning the names of the chords you're playing so that you can then talk to someone smart about it, like someone who's musically trained or knowledgeable.
I don't know if they put chord names in there.
See, why the hell not? Why not eventually just say this symbol represents
maybe
this?
There's an option. I don't know. I don't want to say because I don't know.
Because it's something that I think we talked about briefly when this stuff was first announced, but I think it's really cool that it's not actually cool. It's kind of dumb, but it's odd that Rock Band at this point is literally 100% going the realm of fantasy. Or Guitar Hero is 100% going the realm of fantasy, where their next game is literally you play as a rock god in a fantasy world, and then Rock Band is literally saying, no, you can just be a regular guy who learns how to play a guitar. I think it's
awesome.
It's really cool because really those games were identical for a while, and then the split is just like the most fucking pronounced thing ever.
It really highlights how much harmonics is a mission.
This is real
company.
Music, and we will teach you how to play it.
Yeah.
And you'll be the guy that's playing
the drums
music.
Are cool now. The drums, they have the extra cymbals, and so you actually, now it's still not quite the same as playing a real drum set, but it's fucking close.
But that makes me wish that now they're so close that I do want them to go the one extra step and like do unlock the chord names for the guitar thing, so you are actually just reading the tabs, or like with the piano.
Well, tab doesn't necessarily include chord names. That's
really?
What I'm saying. No.
Okay.
Tab is literally
just shows
just
you where to put your fingers.
Put your finger on this fret. That's what tab is. That's all it is.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the only times I've ever actually encountered guitar tabs are when I took like a jazz music class in college, and at that point they did always it would always list that stuff because everyone
had
to play off of a chart.
If you assume that the person reading the tab knows how to read a chord, then you can just put chord names on it.
Yeah.
But Rock Band 3, it's a crazy, awesome, weird thing. It's a weird, weird thing. And I hope a bunch of people actually get the guitar, and I hope it actually works. It's always difficult for me to really judge how something is going to play to someone who, like, how much things actually going to educate you. Cause I know there are people who have told me, you know, they've played the drums and they worked all the way up to expert drums, and then they sat down in front of a real drum set and they still didn't really know what to do.
Sean, you had a friend who picked up the drums from Rock Band and then started taking drum lessons, right?
Yeah. My buddy Vincent.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty of people like that. And I hopefully the guitar is just such a weird thing, but hopefully it works. I haven't played the real guitar. I've only played the pro one. But it's cool. Anyway.
I haven't played a real guitar. I've just played the pro guitar.
Yeah. So that was reader mail, I guess. Jim Hunter writes, Super Splode. You guys were talking about how Portal 2 has great non-destructive cues to assist with co-op. Have you checked out XBLA's Splosion Man? There's a very involved co-op mode, including the ability to trigger a countdown to tell your cohorts when to explode. Pretty great. Twisted Pixel's a hell of a company. Keep up the awesome Jim. Have any of you guys played Splosion Man?
I played the demo of it.
My little sister played it. So we should get her on here, I guess.
Sweet.
She
fly her in here for this.
Yeah, we'll fly her in. Yeah. But
we haven't played it.
Nope. Yeah. But
I played The Maw, which was the first game by those guys. It was fun.
I didn't like the same thing about both of those games, which was that mostly you were just eradicating innocent things. And the same thing with Splosion Man. It's just like there's scientists running around and it's like, explode them for jokes. Like, I'm like, they're just dudes.
They went to college.
I mean, obviously, it's not supposed to be grim or anything at all. Like, they explode into, like, steaks and stuff, but it's just sort of like that's just
steak.
A idea that
you thought of all
Steve
the ways in life.
I don't know, it's just sort
steak.
Of like
Steve hates steak though.
It's also true.
I ate that.
Jake only
steak.
Don't you play
steak
a lot of video games
suit,
where you
though.
Kill lots of innocent guards everywhere all the time?
Yeah, but those are evil, and it's a sweet takedown.
No, but I mean, there's. I mean,
those Splicers are just hanging.
No, they want to kill you.
No, but they were just regular guys before they got sucked into the.
They see you and
into the commercial enterprise
in,
of splicing.
The tragic story of
junkies.
The splicer.
But
that's,
I mean, like,
it's
like, I don't know.
Basically, killing a splicer is like going onto the street and killing a homeless person. So
what about like Metal Gear Solid or Alpha Protocol or like a million other games where you just murder tons of dudes who are just basically.
What about Mario? Does Mario not stomp
like
the Goomba?
On
violence
the
runs rampant.
Says
that's
one
about,
thing incendiary, and then the other three come down
you,
on them.
Chris.
I don't think it's a fair parallel at all. I mean, just like due to the context, an armed dude that has signed up to guard a dangerous installation, like whatever, you know, you ace that guy. And in the Maw, it's like there's literally just like nice animal walking around, and you just have to like. Tear them apart and eat them.
Yeah, I would say to me,
Even though I don't kill totally ambient things in games. I never fucked with any of the animals in
Far Cry 2.
The difference.
I don't go around eradicating civilians in GTA, but you know, obviously I kill all of the gang dudes or whoever you have to fight.
Like, I guess to me it's sort of different in that I did get that vibe from the Maw, but it didn't turn me off from the game, I guess, just because the whole thing is so abstract and non-representative. It's like this isn't. To me, it's almost like I actually have more of a problem with it in games like Uncharted or something, where it's like this is like an actual realistic world. These are humans that are like real dudes who, yeah, they might be paid to maybe get killed, but you're still killing them. I mean, like, that doesn't, to me, that's not like a moral justification. Not to say I don't play games where I do that all the time. I do. Yeah. But to me, it is always in the back of my mind as a more objectionable thing.
Well, I mean, like in Alpha Protocol, you would lose reputation with your dude if you just killed like the museum guards or whatever, because they were innocent civilians. But then the terrorist guys, you ace them and nobody cares. Right. Yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, I think there's a line there, but it's a little different than just sort of like blow up innocent creature for giggles, you know.
That's fair enough. I did get a bit of that vibe from that game. Yeah.
What if they turned into stakes, the museum guard? Would that be acceptable?
Then I'd eat the stakes.
Mm.
Okay. I think that might be an interesting creative choice. If in Uncharted, you threw a guy off a cliff and he landed and became a stake.
And then you went down there and ate it for your HPs.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
I mean, that sounds like a grasshopper game, basically.
Yeah,
like
that's like the kind of weird subversion that those guys
love.
Where
they turn into a strawberry.
Oh yeah, that is true. Actually, yeah, that happened in Godhand, which was a clover, I guess.
Giant orange.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
So what's next, Chris?
Yeah, Godhand just had
probably enough mail. We actually didn't get a lot of mail this week.
Oh, just Jim and our
questions at idlethumbs.net.
55 wizard on. Oh
no, that's not
at idlethumbs.net. Questions at idlethumbs.net.
Yes. So if you know anything about Willie Beamish,
forums at forum.idlethumbs.net.
Slash Gunga Galunga.
/ I kill you. Bye.
Oh, is it over? I was just warming up. But I mean, when are we going to do the other segment? The what you playing and then the
video games.
Maybe it's, like, you know, Rayman Origins and then like the fall of Rayman and then Rayman Rising.
How about Rayman the Reckoning after Rayman the Reckoning, Fall of Rayman? Yeah.
Well, Rising could also be like the webisode that comes out before, where you learn about the mission that brought him to the facility that is worthless, actually, and is
I kind of feel like Rising
artist.
Is when he figures out how to use his disembodied hands and feet to their maximum
That's
potential.
That's true. Well, if it was Rayman Origins : villain stupid organization Rising, then it could be the webisode.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
Origins,
That's true.
Yeah.
Forearm Stealer, Inc.
Yeah.
It would be a really obvious, like, mythological reference, you know, like Apollo Quadrant Rising or something, you know.
I think it would have to be one word.
Well, it could be Rise of the Apollo Quadrant, like, assuming
that's true.
There's that. Sorry, it's a very specific, stupid style of we're just going to assume that you know
the Apollo Syndicate.
What this fucking thing is and name our bullshit.
Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow.
Yeah.
When?
Fear Perseus Mandate.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one to the max.
Perseus.
Only an idiot would work on that game.
We got handed that by Vivendi.
Only an idiot would be handed that.
Oh, fuck. I'm an idiot.
Idiot!
Like, I should say
I'll put in wizard.
You're a wizard!
Wizard!
I really mean you're a
wizard!
No, I fucking mean it. You're a
wizard!
That's fine. No, never before have I seen a podcast with such vigor and spunk.